Kim Pagano flow. Wake up, hit the dial, yeah, it's time to go. Start your day right. It's the Kim Pagano Show. She's the voice of Ventura, heart of the coast. With the good news only, yeah, she doing the most. Talking life, love, health, and hustle. Bringing in guests who flex that muscle. From authors to docs, she's bridging the gap. Kim got the real talk, never no cap. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. She got that laugh, that light that lift you up. Whether you're driving or sipping from your morning cup, she'll ask the hard cues, still keep it kind. Dropping gems every time that you press rewind. Community strong, she's built that lane. With heart and hustle running through her vein. It's not just a show, it's a vibe, a tribe. So tell your whole crew, yeah, it's time to subscribe. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. I am so excited that you are tuned in here. I know that you have many, many choices, and I'm so glad that you are spending your time with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I hope that you have had an incredible week. I want to remind you of all the areas that you can find us. Download our podcast. And of course, that is The Kim Pagano Show. And of course, on iHeart, Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, everywhere, any place that a podcast is, you will find us there. And we would love you to share us with everyone. I want to give out our phone number here. And that phone number is 805-419-0008. And I am so excited. We just got back from a little trip just up north, and I know how exciting that is. But my next guest and my first guest, I am so excited to introduce her, Carol Johnston. And of course, I'm going to start our show with something uplifting. Travel is a powerful way to grow, bringing fresh perspectives and deep inner peace. If you haven't been traveling, let me tell you, this is something that you definitely want to do. You can see the world and at your own place. But not only that, I am so excited. Of course, we are bringing Carol Johnston, and her business is Unforgettable Journeys, and of course, Amphora Travel Planning, where unforgettable journeys begin. And we're going to find out a little bit about her. She is a travel planner. So if you are one of those people that just need a little bit, somebody else to do the work for you, somebody else that can really assist you in, like, you get there, you know, what do you want to do next? Like, we don't want to have to plan all those kind of things. So anyways, again, I'm super excited. Carol, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, and let's get you and your listeners ready to travel with me.
I love it. I love it. First of all, a little bit about you. How long have you been a travel agent? And of course, a travel planner is really the way you call it, which I do.
Better. I have been doing this for about 4 years professionally, but this is a second job for me or a second career. In my previous career, I did a lot of traveling. I was an educator, so I had summers off, and I took full advantage of that opportunity.
How fun. So this is probably your passion career, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not that the other one wasn't too,
Oh,
but
right. Yeah. And what were you an educator for?
I worked at the university level working with people who are wanting to be science and math teachers.
Oh my gosh, that's huge. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. So this is a little less stressful, I guess you would say, right?
Exactly.
And where are all the places that you've traveled for? And I see your little scenery back there. I mean, where are you now?
Well, this is actually the next trip that I have planned as a group trip.
Okay.
This one is on those of you who may have heard of the Rocky Mountaineer, which goes through Canada and the Rockies. Beautiful, beautiful train ride where the adventure is being on the train and looking out at the beautiful scenery. That same company has started what's called the Canyon Spirit Rail, which goes from Denver to Salt Lake City. But again, it's not so much the destinations at the endpoints, although those are beautiful cities as well, but it's the ride through this gorgeous area, which you're seeing in the background. So I do have a new group planned for this train in April of 2027. I'd love for any of you to join me, or I also, aside from doing these group tours occasionally, I work with people independently.
How fun, hun. I know that I've sent you a lot of people just that need travel in general, right? But this trip sounds really cool. And you don't spend the night on the train, correct?
That is correct.
Just your destination, and then you get to these beautiful hotels, correct?
You do. The trains, they take advantage of the daylight hours so that you are sitting there in comfort, having wonderful food, drinks delivered to you, an area where you could go out and sit and have conversations with other travelers, an area where you can go outside, take advantage of being able to do some photography. It's the trip itself is wonderful. And while you're on that, you have storytellers who are experts in the field. So you'll hear about the geology of the area. You'll hear about the stories of the Navajo people who inhabit this area. You'll hear about stories of other settlers that have come through. So
Have
it's
fun.
really an adventure to be on the train. It's not just the transportation.
And this is for perfect for the people that don't love airplanes, correct? So it's another way of transportation. Yeah. And
I see it as an alternative to driving and having a husband looking at this beautiful scenery and you're going, watch the
yeah.
road.
Oh, I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. That sound okay. I like that. See, she's already planning it. I love that. Let's talk to everybody about what is your role as a travel planner? What does that actually mean?
I think for a while, travel agencies were thinking this is an obsolete field with computer access to all of these different booking aid platforms. Why were we needed anymore? And so I think there was a little bit of regrouping as what is the advantage? And what has been discovered is that even if you're using a search engine online, you're using a travel agent. It's just a virtual travel agent.
Oh.
So why not have that money that's already built into the cost of a hotel or a cost of a trip? Why not go to a real person, a real business, support somebody local, and you've got somebody you can actually talk to if something goes wrong, which is
Wow,
not
I
often,
love that.
fortunately, but that's a huge advantage. What I do as a travel planner, it really depends. Some people come to me with, I want this, this, and this. I've already got the hotels picked out. I know I want to see this activity. I do the logistical piece of putting it together. Others are more, I want to go to Italy, but I really don't know what to see. Use your expertise and tell me what I need to do,
Right.
And
And you do all the mind work basically for them. Who is it that would benefit from that? I mean, I know right off the bat, but you've been doing this for a while. Like somebody that is so busy, they can't make plans, right? Or they can go on, but then that's as far as it gets. And so you put all the details together, right?
Correct. And I do get a lot of clients who have kind of done it themselves beforehand and got to the point where they're just either overwhelmed by so many screens open, so many options, they just want some help to refine it. Others are busy professionals and they have their 2 weeks off. They know that they want to go somewhere fun. They really just don't have the time to plan it. So I work with both types. You don't have to give up control if you like to have the nitty-gritty. And I really encourage people to plan for some unplanned time because that's when some of the serendipity of travel happens and
Oh, I like
some of the wonderful connections that you make.
that. Yeah, that sounds so much fun. Okay, so what is the process? And before we do that, Carol, I want everybody to know your website and your phone number so that they can. And if you are driving right now, I want to make sure that you know that Carol will be in my newsletter, and on my website and everything. So you don't, please don't drive and write at the same time right now. You can also text me if you're a listener that comes in all the time. But also, not only that, is really just listen and then you can reach back. And you can hear this on a podcast. So definitely download it on a podcast. So if you can give out your website and your phone number, please.
Okay, the website is carol.johnston with a T at fora.travel. And the phone number is 805-415-9901.
There you go. Okay. Again, questions. What is the process? How does that work? I'm thinking of going to Netherlands and I want to know, like what would that look like, or how do people, work with you?
Great. I will work with people via text, via email, via phone, via Zoom, but I always start with a personal contact, either in person, by Zoom, or via phone to do a discovery call. So I want to know who you are as a traveler. What does adventure mean to you? What types of places are you comfortable in? What hotels or places in the past have you really enjoyed? And what is it that you want out of this particular trip?
Right. Oh, I love that. What opportunities of travel do you offer? Like we talked about the train, but like what other things?
I do a lot of cruises. People enjoy cruises. And then we'll often add a pre and post trip so that they could extend that time and have a little bit more time in some of the wonderful cities that they're visiting. I do a lot of train trips. Train trips are becoming very popular again. The Orient Express in Europe is coming back, these luxury trips where it's not just the train for the sake of the train, but the experience itself are very popular. And then just your piece by piece trip where it's completely independent but supported in the fact that you know what you're doing, where you're staying, who's picking you up from the airport, et cetera, before you go.
Right. And so you really just can go and visit and enjoy and not have to worry about all the little things, the incidentals that might, not be exactly the way we planned it, right? Because life happens, right? Exactly.
Life happens even with a travel planner. Life will
There
happen.
you go. I
You've
love
got
it.
support.
Yeah. And of course, what inspired you to become a travel planner?
I think just because I've always enjoyed traveling, I think as an educator, I love helping people and sharing my knowledge with them. And this was just another extension of that. All the things that I've learned through travel by my through my own experiences, I can share that with others. It doesn't have to be my trip that they're taking, but I can still offer tips of things of this really worked well, or ooh, I'd think twice about that. This is just to give the
Yeah, it's your
overview of.
experience of what you've learned, right? And now you're putting it into action to help other people. I love that. Let me ask you, you've obviously been traveling. What's your best trip that you have,
Oh,
had? I know, right?
that's the worst question.
Is that okay?
The ones that come to mind, I loved Colombia,
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, yeah.
which
Is
was
it?
an area that many people told me, don't go there. It's dangerous. It's going to be horrible. It was just magical. The people are wonderful. The scenery is just incredible. Starting from that flight where you have this V of a mountain and the plane is just going into this deep valley, and you're, I guess I had a reaction because the flight attendant came over to me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "He's a Navy pilot, don't worry."
Oh, I love it. And was it safe there? Did you
It
feel
was absolutely safe.
really
So
that?
we did a combination of the coffee region, some of the major cities. Cartagena, surprisingly, was one of the most beautiful, fun cities I've ever been to.
Wow. Okay, that might be on my list then. Okay, what else? That just giving people ideas of what it is that all the different places.
I think just exploring Europe is very popular, and there is so much to see in so many different cultures. Those are favorites. I did a river cruise in Austria recently, ending up in Budapest, Hungary. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh, I love it. You are living your best life. I love that.
I
Let's talk
am.
about this train trip that that you are putting together right now for 2027. Kind of walk us through it so we can get the feel for it.
Okay, so you will arrive in Denver. So it's a 5-night package, 5-day package. You'll have 4 nights of hotel that are booked through the train. The train people will organize everything. So you drop your luggage off, it gets put on the train, it arrives in the room when you show up. So it makes it very easy. On the train, again, it's daylight hours so that you can take advantage of the scenery. At your seat, you'll be served wonderful meals. I'd say gourmet meals are
Okay.
definitely fine dining.
Okay, nice.
It's not your hamburger or hot dog, although
Okay.
you could get that if you need
Right.
it. And then just looking at the scenery and listening to the stories being told as you're going through this beautiful area. Then, when the first major stop is in Moab, Utah, most people know that area for some of the most beautiful national parks and very interesting Monument Valley, arches, canyonlands. All of those places are kind of all there in that area that you're taking the train through. And you'll have the opportunity when you arrive into Moab early afternoon to go to one of the national parks. And then before you leave the next day, there is another excursion to a second national park, and then back to the train to continue on to Salt Lake City.
Where do you end it? What is the is Salt Lake City the last?
Salt Lake City. So
Okay.
you would start in Denver and end in Salt Lake City.
Oh, nice. Interesting. Give out the link so that we can know, how to get in touch with you again to book this. And let me ask you this, for people that maybe have never been on a train or never maybe even traveled, okay? And I always call it, a lot of people call it bucket list. I call it my wish list, okay? Is what would do you want them to know about this trip that you're planning?
It definitely is a bucket list destination. I think a lot of people love the Rockies. It's just such beautiful scenery. And for some of the older clients that I have, although it's very popular with younger ones as well, so, but for some of the older ones, this is really one of the easy ways to see it. You're in a nice air-conditioned, climate-controlled environment. You've got dome-shaped windows so you can see out and see everything. And you've got wonderful people that you're with that are actively involved in doing this. So you make friends for life. We did the Rocky Mountaineer, and you start off with the couple that you're with and you're talking with them. 2 hours into it, you know everyone in your train
Isn't
car.
that
So
I love
it's the
that?
people.
Yeah,
It's
I
the
love that.
people.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to share this too with everyone. Carol, I can't wait to go traveling with you and having your help and support. And I love what you do. I love that you're making dreams come true. Really, that's what this is all about. And the help that people need. Sometimes we think we can do it on our own, but why? It's basically the same price that you would pay if you were off doing it online. Why not get some support, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love
And
that.
I, you know, tr travel is so important. We get to see how others live. We get to meet people that come from different areas, different cultures, different scenery. It really opens your eyes to be able to appreciate the things that you have in your own life.
I love that. I like they always say, it's so good to be home, right? But yet it's so fun to
Yes.
travel and see what the rest of the world is doing. I love it. Carol Johnston, thank you so much for sharing your message here on the Kim Pagano Show. Thank you for being a sponsor of my show. I appreciate that. And again, I can't wait. Give out your phone number one more time for our listeners and your website.
Okay, 805-415-9901. And the website you can reach me with carol.johnston@fora.com or the email carol.johnston@fora.travel.
Okay, and Johnston is with a T, so people know. Yes.
That is correct. Johnston.
There you go. Carol, thank you so much. I look forward to getting to know you more. And again, please, for my listeners, reach out to Carol if you're planning to go somewhere, let her support you in this. I love it. All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
Well,
much.
thank you again.
Yeah, we're going to take a really quick break. And of course, if you are listening to us right now, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ready for your next unforgettable adventure? Join Kim Pagano and Amphora Travel Planning for an incredible Southwest journey aboard the Canyon Spirit Railroad in April 2027. Travel with friends, make new ones, and experience breathtaking scenery, premium rail service, exceptional dining, comfortable hotels, and visits to two spectacular national parks. It's the perfect opportunity to relax, reconnect, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Whether you're planning this incredible rail vacation or your dream getaway anywhere in the world, Amphora Travel Planning is here to make travel effortless. Life is short. Fill it with unforgettable journeys. Amphora Travel Planning, where unforgettable journeys begin. Text Carol at 805-415-9901. That's 805-415-9901 for all of your travel needs. Did you know stem cell injections can cost thousands of dollars with no guaranteed results? Here's a simple, affordable phototherapy packed system that supports your body's natural renewal process. No injections, no chemicals, and no drugs. This light-based wellness technology has been studied for decades and shown to support energy, balance, recovery, and overall vitality naturally. For about $99, try a 30-day supply designed to help your body do what it does best, restore and renew itself. Many people share experiences of feeling more energetic, focused, and balanced after incorporating this technology into their wellness routine. If you'd like to learn more, text your name to 805-407-4302 for educational information. That's 805-407-4302. Or you can go to Lynn's website for more info, liveyounger.com/GreekLynn. Liat Cohen is a business and employment attorney serving the Los Angeles area for over 33 years. Liat focuses on providing personal representation to her clients and is concerned with their needs. Liat prides herself on solving legal problems and keeping her clients protected. As a business owner herself and a trial attorney, Liat understands the pitfalls facing businesses and works with her clients to avoid them. Forget the rest. Call the best. Liat Cohen provides free legal consultations. Call 818 1-8-579-9996. Check out the website at liatlaw.net.
you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you looking for a reliable investment that stands the test of time? Gold and silver has always been a safe haven in times of uncertainty. At Gold Your Money, we help you protect your wealth by guiding you through the process of buying and storing precious metals. Whether you're new to investing or looking to diversify, our experts provide personalized solutions to fit your needs. Don't wait for inflation to erode your savings. Secure your future today with Gold Your Money. Visit goldyourmoney.com or call 805-323-GOLD. That's 805-323-4653 or goldyourmoney.com for more details.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Good morning and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, my next guest is Brandi Isadora. And of course, she is award-winning author, photographer, and cellist. What is a cellist? That's what I'm going to ask her. Anyways, of course, she is the author of The Stories of Our Lives, Tattle Tales, Tattoo Stories, and Portraits and Mannequins, Stories of the First Supermodel. And of course, her newest collection is The Stories of Our Lives, a short story collection. Welcome, Brandi, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Yeah, what is a cellist?
Oh, a cellist. So I play the cello. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see an H. So I guess, so there is no H in it? That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, no H. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. How long have you been playing that?
I actually started learning as an adult. So I've been playing, I picked up my first cello about 20 years ago, but I've only been playing seriously for the last 10 years.
What made you do that?
You know, well, before then I was playing guitar and I played in a lot of garage bands. And, you know, I realized I was getting too old to be carrying all that gear. And my mother said, why don't you, you know, pick up the cello? It's such a, you know, beautiful instrument. And so I found an instructor. And she just happened to be connected to a lot of the community orchestras in the valley. And so she introduced me to one and, you know, really picked me up by my bootstraps for sure. But I just love it. So it's such a wonderful experience playing in an orchestra.
How fun is that? Very cool. And you play in an orchestra. Not only did you learn, but you actually, wow, good for you. So I could tell you're like a go-getter, obviously. You put your mind, when's your birthday?
November 1st.
Okay. Okay, so you're a Sagittarius?
Scorpio.
Scorpio. Okay. Yeah, so you're like goal setter, goal getter, right? I mean, that sounds, yeah, very cool. Talk to us about your book, and of course, you just told me that you're already working on your next series, but how did your creative journey take you from fashion design and music into photography and writing?
You know, it's interesting being in the arts, how one thing leads to another. So I started out in the fashion industry. I designed a hip purse and I received a patent for that design. And while I was running the company, it was like kind of the beginning of social media. And so I had to hire photographers a lot for ads and marketing campaigns. And it was expensive. So one day I just thought, oh, I'll pick up a camera and do my own photo shoot. And I did, and I had a lot of fun. And so I just got more and more into it. And I had liked photography before them, but it was the first time I had a focus with the photography. And so after 10 years in the fashion industry, I decided to close my business and go back to school for creative writing at California College of the Arts. So while I was there, still doing photography and writing. And when I got out, I was offered a job photographing bands in Phoenix. And writing reviews of the concerts. And so I did that for a while. And then just over time, I got jobs doing headshots and portrait work and weddings and stuff like that. So that just continued to grow. And I also worked on my writing alongside that. So it's just funny how, you know, your artistic journey just takes you through this adventure and you never know where you're going to land.
Yeah, I don't even think it's the art. I mean, yes, that's how your journey went, but it's so funny. I really started like breaking through to your next. You know, I was a hair therapist for many years, owned salons, and I never really thought that I was interviewing people, but I was, right? And then here I am, a radio host, you know? And so it's kind of like breaking through, like your journey leads you to that next thing and the next thing. And it sounds like that's kind of the same thing that you've done too. How cool is that, right? I mean, so many people, you know, stay in the same industry for so long and maybe they don't love it. They don't find their passion, but look at us. Okay. We just keep going on. Like, what's our next thing? You know? So I love that. Yeah. Okay. And so you work in both images and words. What can a photograph say that fiction cannot? And what can fiction explore that a camera cannot?
I've always felt that photography in words or images and words can discuss the same things. I just think it's received differently. It's a different method of communication. For example, you know, with images like a photograph, you get all the information at once. And well, maybe not all because you don't see what's beyond the
Right,
composition of the
yeah.
photo, but what's within the photo, you're seeing everything at once, and it may impact you emotionally if it's a moving photo. Whereas with words, you know, you have to read the information, so it's a slower pace, and maybe you might feel it differently. You might come to a different conclusion. So I think it's just different styles and you know, I think they both have their purpose. You know, for my first book, The Tattoos, you know, I think it was really important to show the portraits and to show the people who choose to get tattooed and show the humanity of the art form and just to give readers a chance to meet these people. So I thought it for that book, images and words were perfect.
Yeah, and is the name of it Tattoo or Tattle Tales?
The name of the book is Tattletales,
Oh,
Tattoo Stories and Portraits.
okay, cool. And talk to us. That's really interesting because I always think people tell their story on their body, right? I mean, is that the whole thing that what did you get from it?
You know, I learned a lot because even though I've always been fascinated with tattoos, and I never knew what I wanted to get tattooed on my body, so that's what made me start interviewing people, and then I decided to turn it into a book. So it wasn't, you
When
know,
did you end up getting a tattoo?
I did actually. It was only last year though, and I wrote the book 6 7 years ago.
And what
And
tattoo, if you don't mind me asking?
oh sure, no, I got a small star on my wrist. I have a low pain threshold, and so one of the women that I met writing this book, she said, you know, Brandy, you've been talking about it for so long. We're just going to go and get it. And so the star has always been a meaningful symbol for me. So that's why.
What does it mean to you?
It means hope. And also I've had the star in all of my logos for all of my businesses. So it's just something, you know, I've been attracted to the shape. And then also it symbolizes hope for me, and also kind of being your own true north in life. You know, you have to be your own lighthouse.
I love that. I love that. Very cool. Yeah. I've always thought of getting like on my wrist. Did you get it right here?
I got it on the side of my wrist.
Oh yeah. There you go. Okay. Very cute. Yeah. Hearts. And one of my daughters did it before me. and I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, and good for her. So, and you know what it is? It's like, I don't know. It's like a symbol, right? I mean, that's what it is. So do you feel like everybody that has them, it's a symbol for them in some way? It's their story.
It is, yeah, it's an extension of their life experiences, of their personality. You know, I met a lot of people who had tattoos of their loved ones, whether they were still living or had passed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as one person put it, you know, they get to carry their art with them to the grave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you hear people who lose their home, like in a fire, and they lose everything, mm-hmm. you know, people who have tattoos of their loved ones, they still have that, you know, and it's an interesting way of looking at art, particularly body art.
Right. That's really, one of my sons has me and him, me holding him like his hand when he was little, and, you know, and then he's got my name on it. And I was like, honey, but he loves it. And I feel honored. So, you know, but anyways, well, this is really interesting. And let's talk about your mannequins. What is the book about mannequins?
Well, I started that project shortly after Tattletales. And what happened was I was going on road trips with a friend of mine. We'd always go antiquing. And I started seeing these mannequin heads in the shops. And I just thought this was interesting. So I started just for fun taking pictures of them wherever I saw them. And then it kind of became a game where I'd have to find a mannequin head every time we went on a road trip. And so as I was taking pictures, I started reading about the history of mannequins. And I just found it so interesting because as a child, I thought mannequins were kind of creepy. And so as I was reading about how important they were in our, you know, history, and how they contributed to societal norms, I just thought, you know, this might make a fun trivia book. So it's a...
What do you mean that they're so important? What does that mean?
Well, for example, as far as we know, mannequins go as far back as ancient Egypt. They were used to fit clothes for the rulers of Egypt. And then later on, many, you know, hundreds of years later, during the Industrial Revolution, when they could mass manufacture glass and they had storefronts, they would use these mannequins to create like lifestyle shots. Like, hey, if you buy our product, you can look as great as this mannequin that's in the window.
Kind of like a Barbie image.
Yes, like a Barbie image, yes. And so, you know, the shapes, the body types of the mannequins have changed over time according to what was popular in the fashion industry. So mannequins, they really were kind of the first supermodel. And that's why I wrote the book, just to show a little slice of life about a topic that maybe most people wouldn't read otherwise.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I love that. And of course, is this your newest book, The Stories of Our Lives?
That is definitely the most recent book, yes.
And talk to us about that.
The Stories of Our Lives is a short story collection. I had started those short stories, about 10 years ago and put it away and, you know, didn't really do a lot with it. And then during COVID, when the world was kind of shut down, I couldn't really work and the orchestras were shut down. I decided to go back to the short stories and just kind of keep myself busy. And I just really had a good time and I thought the stories were good. And so I created a collection and published it.
What's one story that you can share? Is there one that stands out to you?
I think what my personal favorite is the first story, Bundle and Save. And it's about a retired teacher who, you know, sitting in a bar, and he notices this laundromat that's mysteriously open, you know, late at night. And he just has an idea that it must be a front for some, you know, nefarious organization. Then when he goes to check it out, he's quite surprised at what he finds. And it's just, it's a heartwarming story because I like to show how important community is and also hope.
I love that. I love that. Each one of these are so different and unique. You could just tell, wow. First of all, how do our listeners find you and find your books?
They can find out more about me on my website, which is brandyisadora.com. And then my books are available on Amazon.
I love it. I love it. And will you send me your books? I'm interested to read them.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Leave us with one brighter side of life, you know, the way your brain works, and how what makes you get up every morning.
I love working with different people. That's one of the best parts about being a photographer. And, you know, through my journey as an artist, I've heard stories, like really interesting, heartwarming stories or paranormal, and it's inspired all of my work, and especially the short story collection. So I always feel, you know, you can never give up because you never know what's around the corner. That's definitely been my experience in life.
Love that, Brandy. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone, download our podcast, and follow us on our social. I'd love to see what's next for you, you know.
I will. Thank you so much for having me today.
You got it. Thank you so much.
We've got Erica DiBona. And of course, she has typed over 1,000 thank you letters on her signature Olympia electronic compact typewriter every year. And she shares why in her new book, A Letter is Better, which I love the name, first of all. Really, it's all about, you know, just that connection. So many of us are texting, maybe, you know, even that, just pick up the phone. But also, a letter is better. Let's welcome Erica. Erica, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate your having me today.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about, first of all, how you got started. And you probably had somebody that might have taught you this, or a mentor, or something that you received. And then, of course, you wanted to reciprocate.
Well, it began with my grandfather, Granddaddy Al, who is no longer with us, of course. But I was probably in first grade, and we became pen pals. He lived in Seattle, and I was in Palo Alto, California. So we didn't see each other very much. And he wrote me every week, and I wrote him back. And to the point that when he died, I went up to visit him, and I saw a letter of mine that was typed, of course, on his bedside table. And I had a moment of realizing, he's not going to write me back. So I read that letter to him,
oh, and realized chills. Yeah.
It was the last letter that I was going to get to exchange with him. The other big moment for me also happened around first grade, when it was 1962, so I'm 70, and it was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And they were teaching all the little children in first grade to duck and cover and roll under our desks, which was scary. And I came home and I was rattled, and my mother said, no, you don't have to worry. President Kennedy has solved the problem. We're not going to have the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I was so relieved. She suggested, why don't you write the president a thank you?
Wow.
Which I did. And about a month later, I was coming in from school. My mother had a big white envelope that she was holding, and it was a letter from the president and his picture. And of course, he was very handsome. So I was so thrilled. I put it up next to my bed, and I looked at it every morning when I woke up and every night when I went to sleep. But it really gave me the confidence to think, I could write anybody. I'm a little first grader, and I wrote the president, and he wrote back. So I think that was the underlying through line for me of realizing, it's not scary. Just write somebody, and they may write back.
That is so awesome. I love that story. And as a first grader, I mean, like, that is just huge. I mean, it's really like having the confidence to do anything you want. And you know, it's interesting. I had my parents were the same way. You could do anything you put your mind to. Never thought of it as a letter, but wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It was
So,
also helpful because I was shy. I had a big nose, and I saved up money for a nose job later, ninth grade. But so if I liked a boy, I didn't know how to talk to him really, and I would ask him to be my pen pal. So that was a surefire way of getting interaction with him, which has held me through good stead as well, because people do like to have a response back and forth. And this was way before emails and texts, but I could get to be a friend with a boy that way. And
oh,
that was another way to use letter writing, is to start a relationship.
you know, you, okay, I have to just remark on what you said about your nose, first of all. Beautiful lady
Oh,
here.
thank you.
But you know what? It just makes me seem like you can make anything happen. And I think that's your message right there, is you can make
I
anything
like that.
happen. And I love that because I feel the same way. I mean, nothing in life should hold you back. And so you've got a couple messages there. I love that. Okay, so talk to us a little bit about your book. Why is a letter better? Obviously, you've already, explained a few things, but when you're getting a thank you note and an immediate personal gift that goes straight to your receiver's heart, talk to us about that.
When I get a gift, the first thing I do is I do not use it, wear it, put it on, eat it, or put it away, because I will forget that I ate it, wore it, or put it away, and it'll be a delay before I write the letter back. So I keep it out in front of me as much as possible and sort of marinate in it while I feel the feelings of what it was like when it happened. My key word I start my thank yous with is the word when. So it puts me back in the mode of when we had this interview today,
I
Kim.
love that.
I
I
had a feeling right away you understood who I was.
love that.
The when is the taking me back to the time and place. It also, I use all my senses where possible, the sense of smell and touch and sight. I don't like starting the words thank you. I always say save the thank you till the end. Because if I send you a card, it says thank you on the outside, you open it's like, and I say thank you as my first two words, I've already blown the lead. There's no suspense to that, right? How exciting is that going to be to read thank you and then thank you? So I say save the thank you to the end. And I have three paragraphs that I write. I have the me, you, and us. So the first paragraph is all about me. That's my response to you or to the gift or to the experience, to the manicure, whatever it was, that's the
Right.
part about me. The next part is it's you, and that's all about you. And that's really the secret sauce to this. This is where I try to get you to fall a teeny bit in love with me, because I see you and appreciate you, and I'm thanking you for things that maybe most people aren't noticing always. I'm taking a moment to read between the lines of who you are
Right.
and what your talents are.
I
And I think
love
that's
that.
what really hooks people, because they don't feel seen and appreciated very much anymore. And to get a letter that you can then stick in your purse or in your backpack or have it on your desk for a while, a letter is forever. And then the third paragraph is us. So it's me, you, and us. The third paragraph is where I talk about, I look forward to meeting you at the mixer on March 12th, and I really appreciate your giving me the first opportunity to talk about my book with you, and I know that together we will be able to forge new business ventures. Thank you.
I love that. I think I always write thank you right off the bat. So that already helps
No.
me right there. I've already given away what I was going to do there,
That's
right?
right. Why would anyone
Love
keep
it.
reading? And the other thing is, Kim, I say, don't agonize about it. We were talking about being fearful of things. People get frozen about, oh my gosh, I have to write a thank you. I say, just write it. Odds are you're the only one that's going home tonight and writing a thank you. Trust me.
That's right.
And I know I'm the only one going home and typing a letter, so that's even more unusual. And I joke that I have like a 93% open rate with my typed letters. And that is part of the book, as I talk about typing. A lot of people have gotten back into typing as a result, but that's not what I'm saying to do. I say, you can do it on the computer. You can print it out like 1.5 space, find a cute font, find pretty paper like you'd have your pink paper. You're ready to go with your stationery. Use that. First draft, final draft. Don't kill yourself doing it. Just do it. Check for a spelling, nothing egregious. Tom Hanks, if he's typing, he just says XXX over the wrong word and keeps going. And then put it out. I make a copy of it before I send it, because what happened is people come up to me like a year after I've sent a letter and say thank you for that letter, and I honestly don't remember what I wrote them, because by then I've done 999 more letters. So I now keep it, and that was helpful when I was trying to put the book together too, to remember some of the responses.
Okay, so I love this. This is going to be all in your book. I can't wait to read your book, first of all. My question to you is, what if you've had a birthday and you didn't send out any thank yous yet? Okay, how long is it to, like, where it's too late, or is it ever too late?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what the rule is for birthdays. I know they say the rule for weddings is 1 year,
right?
But I hear a lot of people who give gifts and are unhappy when the bride really takes 1 year. The other problem with the waiting a long time is that you tend to forget the feelings you had. The when I received the gift and opened it up and saw that beautiful doorstop, how I felt. And so I think that the sooner one can write a letter is better. The birthday issue, I don't know if there's a technical rule about that. I hope there isn't, because I think we get too hung up on all these rules. But I do think while the feelings are fresh, it always makes for a better response.
But what if you haven't done it? Then what would you suggest?
Well, I think you could just say, I'm hugely aware that this is long time in coming. It's not that I haven't been thinking about you. Mm-hmm. I have been, and I'm wrecked with guilt that I haven't done this yet. But I wanted to say, please don't judge me for the lack of the slow response, because it has nothing to do with how I felt about the gift.
Wow. Okay. Okay, even in business and, you know, different things, like maybe you go to a great restaurant. Do you think letters are more memorable no matter what?
Absolutely, letters are more memorable in my experience.
Okay.
I have written to waiters. One time a waiter brought over a bread crumber, you know, those things that clean the table, for my daughter, and she admired it, and she was about 10. And so he gave it to her. That was deserved a response. So I wrote to the waiter. I write to the tattoo artist at the Orange County Fair. I write to the manicurist. A response to a restaurant or to the manager is also really good, because the next time I come in, they know me. And this has happened at many restaurants where I'll walk in and go, oh, Erica. And I wrote them a letter. So it's happened with waitresses. I think everybody deserves to be thanked, whether it's the maitre d' or the waitress or the chef in the back. And it can only help. It's when I go to the doctor's office, I'll look and see a letter of mine in the medical file next to all my medicines. I say, oh, that's my letter. To the manicurist, to the guy who takes out our garbage cans, whoever it is, it takes a minute, and it lasts a lifetime.
That's what I was going to ask you. It takes a minute, okay? And so many of us don't sometimes think they have a minute, right? But it only takes a minute, right? And so it's really, go over your three steps, because I think that's so important.
Okay, the first step is start with the word when, if you're frozen, and take you back to the moment of when you had that interview, when you had the manicure, when you had dinner at the restaurant, when that experience happened to you and how it made you feel. That's the when, and the first paragraph about me, my experience. The next one is about you, me, you, and us. So you is how it felt when I was interacting with you. And that's where I say, now I could tell your outlook on life is pink and bright because of the basic colors that you use and the experience of gratitude in the morning. I understood that you are all about gratitude and joy and bringing that to your viewers and listeners. I appreciate what you do and know that what you do is really important in the world. So that's about you. And that's where I want, my father used to say, be genuine. Like there was a boy I liked, Zach, in junior high, and my dad said, "Oh, just tell him he has a nice smile. Everyone likes to be told they have a nice smile." So I went up to him the next day and said, "Oh, I really like your smile." And he looked at me and he blushed and he smiled and he had gotten braces. And he was like, "Oh no, what was I saying?" So that compliment clattered to dead and lifeless to the floor. And I also realized it wasn't genuine. I hadn't looked at him before I said that. So it needs to be genuine, because if it's a fake compliment, you'll feel it. You'll say, "What is she talking about?" It has to be something that you discern about the person that you're writing to, and feed back to them what's special about them to make them feel unique, because you are. And then the last is me, you, and us. So it's us. How can we take our new relationship into the future together? Or, "I look forward to being seated at your table the next time we go to John O'Groats." Whatever the us is, "I look forward to making cookies on the new cookie sheet that you brought me and having some champagne along with it." Whatever the hope is that you can go into the future together is how I tie it together. And then I end with, "And thank you for whatever the thank you is for."
I love this, Erica. Okay. You inspired me. I'm going to do this. I think that just is like the one last, topping that I needed in my life. So I love that. Let me ask you, handwritten, I know you use your typewriter, but what's the best and what's the easiest?
I think for me, I found that typing it on the computer is great. I will type it on like a self-adhesive Avery label that's like this. So I can then cut it and put it on the inside of a card if I want to. So it's printed on the computer, but it's cut into the size of a card if you want to put it on the inside of a card. I think printing or computer is great. Handwriting, the problem, Kim, is a lot of kids aren't learning how to handwrite or to read handwriting. And I talk to grandparents who are frustrated. "My grandchild never writes me back." Well, maybe because it looks like hieroglyphics to them. They can't even make out what you wrote. So I also am big on bribery. I have a whole lot of kids who are pen pals with me, and I send them candy, non-chocolate, because it won't, so it doesn't melt. But if they write to me, I'll send them candy back, and then they quickly write back. So I've had kids for 10, 12, 15 years who've been my pen pals.
Wow.
And I also have a friend who's 102 who's my pen pal. She's still writing on her floral lined paper that I've helped to get her along the way.
How fun to get mail, right? I love it. Let me ask you, do you have children?
I have one daughter. She's 36, and she doesn't particularly like to write thank yous. So she is not my mini-me as I would like. But in the book, I did write, include a letter that she had written to her fifth grade teacher when she had been bullied, and the teacher had stood up for her and talked to the class of saying, "This is unacceptable. Whoever wrote this anonymous letter that they put in Jamie's mailbox at home should not have done that. I won't stand for it." And so Jamie wrote to Mrs. Landau and thanked her at the end of the year for standing up for her. And I think that's the kind of thing that makes a teacher feel good. You can give them all the little gifts at the end of the school year, but a gift that can really stay in their life is a letter like that.
I love it. Erica DeBono, thank you so much for being a guest here today on the Kim Pagano Show. I hope that you share our show with everyone. And how do our listeners find you and, of course, find your book?
Thank you. Well, I have an artofthankyou.com is my website. And my book is on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I self-published, so it's not in bricks and mortar at this point. But it's available both of those places.
Okay, great. Could we give one away?
What's that?
Could we give one of your books away?
Of course.
Yeah, I would love to. Let's open up our phone lines. And, of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. And just put on there, "A letter is better." And we'll pick one of the winners. Again, thank you so much. And this was so delightful. I'm like thinking of all the letters I'm going to be writing right now. So, again,
just have fun with it.
That's what it's all about. No pressure, just
no
fun.
No pressure. That's right.
Thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
And of course, I want to make sure that you are invited to my next business mixer happening August 20th, 5 to 8 in Newbury Park. And of course, I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. And today's is Life is Like a Bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.